Aren't you glad his mercy reigns? Unending love, amazing grace. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, once again for this day. And Lord, we thank you once again for your presence here and your presence in our lives. Lord, bring forth your word today. Touch our hearts, touch our lives, Lord. Impact us the way that only you can. Pour your spirit out in this place today, Lord. We want to know you better. Fill us with you, with your love, with your presence, with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today is Valentine's Day. Amazing how they can take something nice and commercialize it the way they do. There's got to be a buck in it somewhere, right? That's okay. They have their reward, right? I'm going to share something that our sister Shirley shared on Facebook this morning. I printed it up. And I'm going to read it. Say, Facebook has some good things on it sometimes. At least we try, don't we, Sally? Roman soldiers weren't allowed to get married, yet St. Valentine secretly held weddings at his church for them and their brides. When he was caught, Rome tried to force him to stop the weddings and pray to fake Roman gods. He refused. While jailed and sentenced to death, the jailer's blind daughter visited him quite often and fell in love. He prayed for her to be healed, and she received her sight. On his execution date, February 14, 269, he left her a letter signed, "Your Valentine." That same loving spirit, dear Christian, which is the spirit of Jesus, lives in you today. You too are a loving saint, because God's Spirit has been poured into yours. Valentine's Day, the true meaning. I remember as a child handing out Valentines. We had to hand them out to everybody in the class. Even the boys. You know, you may have said, or you may have heard, "I'd love you more today than yesterday, but not as much as tomorrow." Has anybody ever said that or heard that? I think probably most of us, right? More today than yesterday, but not as much as tomorrow. Because that's what love's supposed to do. It's supposed to keep growing, isn't it? How much does God love you? There you go, this much. He loves you with all his heart, all his mind, all his strength, all his being. And he wants us to love him the same way, doesn't he? Yet can we really? We can try. We can do everything we can to him, but our love will never match his, will it? Ephesians 3:14 through 19 is our opening scripture. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love," being rooted and grounded in love, "may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." I I'm going to start out backwards. I'm going to start out talking about verse 19 first, and then I'll move on from there. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Sounds like a paradox, doesn't it? To know his love, which can't be known. And yet God can do that, can't he? God's economy is amazing. Give so you can get. Die so you can live. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Every word in that sentence just compounds what was previously. We see that a lot of times in the Bible. It's kind of a cumulative. I've got it written down here somewhere. It's cumulative in its force. That you might be filled. That you might be filled. But it's more than that. That you might be filled with God. That you might be filled with the fullness of God. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Every word that's added just increases it. What's that word? Exponentially, I think. To be filled with all the fullness of God. Is that possible? Can we be filled with all his fullness? One commentator asked this question, can the finite contain the infinite? In other words, can the creation really know the Creator fully? Arthur W. Pink said, we can be filled with all the fullness of God according to our measure as a new creature in Christ, and in such a proportion as he is capable of in this life. Will we be satisfied with this limited amount? With this limited amount of knowledge of him? No, we won't, will we? We should be constantly seeking for more. Will we ever have a complete knowledge of God? Some people say we will in heaven. I don't think so. I think we're going to spend eternity having God reveal something else about himself that we don't even know. Just when we think we know it all of a sudden he's going to do something. We're going to go, wow, that's amazing. Because he's never going to cease to amaze us. What is the fullness of God? There's two possible answers. The fullness of which God himself is full, or the fullness which flows from him to us. How full can we be? We can't be filled with all the fullness of God. That's not going to happen. But we can be filled with all the fullness that flows from him to us. And I think that's what Paul is trying to say here. A vessel can only be filled to its capacity. But what if the capacity can change? What if it can expand? What if it can grow? You know, kind of like an inner tube or a balloon. That happens with that, right? Of course, there is a limit there, both of them. Filled with all the fullness of God. In another translation, it stated, filled unto all the fullness of God, which tells me that there's something progressive there. It's like the verse, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Literally, it's be being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a continual, ongoing process. I think that's called growth, isn't it? Or it should be. Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. With a perfect love. As the Father has loved me, that's how much I've loved you. God loves an awful lot, doesn't he? And he loves his Son an awful lot. That's how much his Son loves us. So how much does the Son love us? Isaiah 53. For he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. He went to the cross and suffered the most painful, excruciatingly painful death imaginable. And it wasn't a quick death, which made it even worse, didn't it? Why did he do that? Hebrews 12:2 says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. You know, we don't think too much about the shame, do we, that he went through. Because to be hung on a cross is one of the most shameful things that there was. And to have your clothes ripped off. Well, there's some question about whether he was completely naked or not. But he was, that was, there were more modest times back then. But for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He could have called down 12 legions of angels. A legion is somewhere between 4,000 and 6,000 in number. That means it could have been somewhere between 48,000 and 72,000 angels. We read in 1 Kings, or 2 Kings, I think it's 2 Kings, that one angel can kill 185,000 people. So if he called down, say, maybe 60 or 70,000 angels, that's 13 billion people that can be wiped out. He didn't have to be on that cross. It amazes me that he went to the cross. But he stayed on it. Any time that he was on that cross during that 6 hours, he could have said, you know, I've enjoyed about as much of this as I can stand. I think I'm just going to do something else. But he stayed there. Why did he stay there? For the joy set before him. And what is the joy set before him? Us. That which is beyond this lifetime. We need to keep that joy in our mind too, don't we? Because that's what's awaiting us. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He was so much in love that the thought of being with the one he loved brought him enough joy that it overrode the pain and what he was going through. He endured because of that joy. Now that's love, isn't it? Verse 18, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. The dimensions of his love. There's 4 points, isn't there? His love is shaped like a cross. Can you see that? That we would know the breadth of his love. The width of his love. How wide is God's love? Is God's love limited? John 3:16. Jesus told Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. That's an important word, whosoever. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world. That's how wide it is. Nicodemus was a religious leader. He was a Pharisee. They believed that God was just a God of Israel, but Jesus said, no. It isn't just Israel that I came to save. I came to save the world, that anybody that would have me. The Bible tells us that as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's cast away our sins. In other words, I mentioned this not too long ago, you can go so far north that you end up going south. But you can't go so far east that you end up west. Because you keep heading east. There's no pole. There's no axis there. It's north and south. That's where it is. That's how far it is. In other words, it's never going to happen. That's how wide his love is. As far as the east is from the west. Whether you're a prince in a castle. Whether you're a servant girl in a shack. Red and yellow, black and white. Male or female. It doesn't matter to him. We just need to be a whosoever, don't we? The length of his love. How long is his love? 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. When did he first love us? Jeremiah 31:3 says, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. He loved all of us. He loved Adam and Eve before Adam and Eve were Adam and Eve, before there were people at all. He loved us. Everlasting. Always. Romans 5 says, he loved us, he died for us while we're without strength. While we're still sinners. John 13:1, Jesus, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Unto the end. What does that mean? That's the same end you encounter when you finally make it to the west when you're traveling east. It really doesn't have an end, does it? Romans 8:35-39, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature or created being, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It may seem like I'm mixing up the love of the Father with the love of the Son, but actually they're the same, aren't they? It's the same love. So how long is his love? From everlasting to everlasting. Unending love, amazing grace. The depth of his love. How deep is his love? Do you remember where you were when he saved you? Psalm 40, verse 2, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Ephesians 2:3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We were heading for hell. We all have a testimony of where we were. But God's amazing grace brought us out of that, didn't it? There isn't a hole in the universe so deep that God can't reach in and grab a hold of you and pull you out. Psalm 139, 8 and 9, if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Even there, your hand will lead me and your right hand will hold me. Even there. How deep is his love? It goes all the way down to hell. The height of his love. How high is his love? The height of his love applies both to our present existence in the here and now and to our future existence with him in heaven. 1 Samuel 2:8, he raises up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes to make them inherit the throne of glory. Isaiah 56:5, even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Romans 8:16 and 17, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Revelation 22:4 and 5, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. How high is his love? It reaches all the way to heaven, doesn't it? I want to share something from the Book of Mysteries. I do this every once in a while. We used to read this every day in devotions, and I read it still every day. And the other day, the lesson was in a Hebrew word, dodeka, the divine loves. If you're familiar with this book, then you know that it's a story of a student and a teacher and their interaction. And there's 365 of them, one for every day of the year, and I highly recommend it. Okay, you had the student and the teacher. We sat on a lone stone wall encircling one of the school's vineyards. In the Song of Solomon, said the teacher, the bride compares the love of her beloved to wine. Wine was a symbol of earthly pleasure. Yet when the bride speaks of her beloved, she says this, your love is better than wine. And the student says, and the Song of Solomon is ultimately about God and us, the bride representing us, and the beloved represents God. That's correct, he said. So what is it saying? That the love of God is better than any earthly pleasure. Yes, and something more than that. Behind the translation is a revelation one can only find in the original language. The Hebrew reads this way, Ki tovim dodeka mi yayin. It is translated, your love is better than wine. But in the original language, the bride says, your dodeka is better than wine. And what does dodeka mean? Not your love. Dodeka means your loves. Your loves are better than wine. What does that reveal? The love of God is not just the love of God, but the loves of God. That's plural in case you're not, I'm trying to make the S sound pretty obvious so you pick up on that. But the loves of God. Dodeka means that God loves you so much that it can't even be described or contained without breaking out of the language. It means the word love cannot adequately express it. It means that God doesn't just have love for you, but many loves. When you need his mercy, he loves you with a merciful love. When you need his strength, he loves you with an encouraging love. When you've been wounded, he loves you with a tender love. When you need the love of a friend, he loves you as a friend. When you need to be lifted up in his arms, he loves you with the compassion of a loving father. His love for you is many. He loves you today, not with yesterday's love, but with the love for today, a love that is new every morning. Therefore, you must seek not only to know the love of God, but to know the loves of God. You can never rest on knowing yesterday's love or the love that you have known before. You must seek each day to know the loves he has for you. The new love, the fresh love, the surprising love, the never-ending love. It is that love, his love, that is better, much better than any earthly joy. For his loves are better than wine. Jesus loves you. God the Father loves you. God the Holy Spirit loves you. We can't comprehend that, can we? Just how deep, how strong, how powerful that love is. Amazing love. Lord, we continually stand in awe of you. Because you do amaze us every day. Thank you. Who are we, Lord, that you would have that much love for us? Who am I, Lord? Lord, I look back on my past and what I was, even what I still am, Lord. You knew everything about me. And you loved me. You knew everything about each one of us. Everything we're ever going to do. And yet, you loved us. And you do love us. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd be with each one of us today. You'd go with us and guide us and lead us in your ways, Lord. Lord, just keep your presence in our lives. We need you, Lord. As the days get darker, we need your light to be brighter. Help us, Lord, to reflect that light. Help us to reflect that love that you have for us, everyone we meet. And Lord, I pray that you'd bring us back safe when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.